continuing our study of the book of Genesis, and we're really at an exciting part, chapter 43. We're going to pick up in chapter 43 tonight, so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 43. As you remember, Joseph is now the prime minister of Israel. He's been playing some head games with his brothers who've been coming there to buy food. It's during the famine years. And so we're going to pick up with the famine. He sent them home. He put the money in their knapsacks so that they didn't pay for the food they got. And he's treated them real harshly, told them not to come back without his little brother. They don't know he's their brother, but he wants to see little Benjamin. And so 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food." But Judah spoke to him, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, "You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you." And Israel," remember this is Jacob, God renamed him Israel, "said, 'Why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you still had another brother?' But they said, 'The man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, "Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?" And we told him according to the words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you also, our little ones." Now, they're at the point now where the famine is so bad, and they've waited so long, it's a desperate time. How many of you guys have ever been desperate before? And when you're desperate, you're willing to take chances. Now, Israel, Jacob, does not want Benjamin to go, because he, as far as he knows, Joseph is already dead. Remember, his brothers killed a goat and put the blood on that coat of many colors and led the father to believe that he had been eaten by a wild animal. And this is the two sons of the one woman he loved, Rachel. He worked 7 years thinking he was going to get Rachel. His uncle Laban tricked him. He had to work 7 more years. He got Leah, the one with the droopy eyes. He had to work another 7 years to get Rachel. And he loved her so much, yet she was barren. So there was this competition of cranking out babies between her sister and the two handmaidens, which led to the 12 patriarchs. And finally, the two youngest ones were Joseph and Benjamin, the only two biological sons of the woman he loved. And now one of them is supposedly dead, and the last thing he wants to do is send the other one to Egypt. But it's desperate. They have no food. And so Judah says to him, "Send the lad with me." In verse 8, "I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. And so Judah understands something's got to give. Dad doesn't want to let him go. They don't have any food. He says, "I'm going to be responsible. You can hold me responsible if I don't bring him back. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have already returned this second time." And so, you know, they were lingering, and so he's saying, "If you hadn't drug your feet, we'd already be back with the food, Dad. Let's get this thing going." And their father Israel says to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessel, carry down a present for the man, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hands, and take back in your hands the money that was returned in the mouth of your sack. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, then I am bereaved. Now, what Jacob, what Israel is saying is, and many of us, sometimes we come to that place in life where life has dealt us a bad blow. And you have two options. You can either quit living or you can just go on. You really don't have a choice. The only thing you can do is go on. And basically Jacob's saying, I don't have a choice. I'm just going to have to go along with this, you know. And as we mentioned last week, oftentimes we see things through the eyes of our circumstance. Last week Jacob said, all things are against me. But what Jacob didn't know is that God was in control. And sometimes you and I, we may feel that way. We may feel like all things are against us, and we don't understand why certain events have happened in our life, but God is in control. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, God is in control. Amen? God is in control. You know, the last time I checked, Jesus had not stepped down off of his throne. The last time I checked, the angels didn't just throw up their hands and say, oh, well, the world's a mess. Why do we even try? I got news for you. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. God is in control. Glory to God. And so you just got to keep going. So he tells him, go back to the man. May God Almighty give us mercy. Verse 15. So the men took the presents and Benjamin. They took double money in their hands, and they arose, and they went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of the house, take these men to my home, and slaughter an animal, and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now remember, Joseph is now the prime minister of Egypt. He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and he is made second in command. You know what? Jesus is second in command, isn't he? He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible says that that after the crucifixion, well, it implies after the crucifixion, the dialogue is actually in Psalms, where God the Father says, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so just as God gave the position of honor to Jesus, Pharaoh gave the position of honor to Joseph when he interpreted his dreams and pretty much gave him authority to act as Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, it is because of the money which were returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so he may make a case against us and seize us and take us as slaves with our donkeys. And so his brothers are pretty freaked out right now. Now remember, the reason they hated him so much was because he told them he had this dream that the sun and the moon, 11 stars, bowed down before him. And it really ticked them off. You know, who? We're going to bow down to you. And that's why they ended up selling him as a slave to Egypt. But we're seeing now this dreamer's dream is coming to true, isn't it? And so they don't know what's going on. They have no idea. Joseph, remember, the Hebrews had big beards, but the Egyptians had smooth, shaven faces. And some of them may have even had makeup on, you know. And so they don't know this is their brother. They have no clue. And they're scared of him. And so when they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. But it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, so we have brought it back in our hands. We brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put the money in our sacks. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your fathers has given your treasure in your sacks. I had the money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. And so this is, you know, that he kept Simeon, remember last week, as kind of a guarantee that they'd come back. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave them their donkeys feed. And then they made the present ready for Joseph, coming at noon, for they heard that he would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and they bowed before him to the earth. You know, Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle will be taken away from the law. Everything will be fulfilled. That was a Hebrew word for like saying, no apostrophe, no comma will be left out. If God said it, you can bet it's going to happen. Amen. Isaiah the prophet said, the grass withers, the flowers thereof fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. We can take it to the bank. God's word is sure. You remember the story of when Joshua and the men fought the battle of Jericho. And then Joshua proclaimed a curse on any man who tried to rebuild Jericho. He said that his firstborn would be killed when they laid the foundation, and his second son when they tried to set up a gate and rebuild Jericho. And later on, we read in, I think it's in 1 Samuel, don't quote me on that, where some dude thought he would try it. And they tried to rebuild Jericho, and sure enough, his first son, then his second son died at the commandment of Joshua and the word of the Lord. Don't mess with the word of God. It's infallible. Amen? And so, the dream that Joseph dreamed, now we see it fulfilled right before his eyes as his brothers are bowing down to the earth to him. Then he asked them about their well-being, and he said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? You can hear it in his voice. He's homesick. He hasn't seen his dad in probably about 15 years. Remember, he spent several years in prison before he became prime minister. It's probably at least 15 years by now. And they answered, your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. And he said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke of to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste, and he sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber, and he wept there. Now he can't help it. His heart is full. He has waited for this day so long. He hasn't gotten bitter. He hasn't gotten angry. He doesn't blame his brothers. He kept his integrity. He kept his relationship with God even though life didn't make sense. And God took care of his future. And now his heart is still soft. It's not hard. It's not bitter. And he wants so bad to just hug him because he's waited for this day and he's not ready to tell him yet. So he just removes himself to his chamber and he starts crying. You know, tears are a good reflection of the condition of a man's heart. A soft heart, a person cries. A hard heart, they lock their jaw. And we got to be careful that we don't get bitter at life, even when things don't go our way. Keep our integrity, keep our relationship with God where it needs to be. And so you see, he removes himself to his chamber, he cries, then he washes his face, and he comes out, and he restrains himself, and he says, serve the bread. And so they set him place by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for they considered that an abomination. And they set before him the firstborn according to the birthright and the youngest according to the youth, and the men looked in astonishment at one another. In other words, Joseph told them who's going to set where, and he arranged his 11 brothers all in age order, from the oldest to the youngest. And this astonished his brothers because they thought, that's just weird. How could he know that? You know? And they still haven't figured it out yet. So they took the servings to them from before him, But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as theirs, and so they drank and were merry with him. And he commanded the steward of the house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of the sack. So he's doing it again. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and in his grain, money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. And as soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they with their donkeys. And when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to the steward, get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this one of the one from which the Lord drinks, and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in doing. So he set them up again. He's really having fun with them, isn't he? I'm sure that he was trying to keep his integrity, but it was just that little temptation of, you know, I was in a prison for a number of years. I'm going to play a little head game with you guys. And so they overtook them. They spoke to them these same words, and they said, why does my Lord say these words? Far be it for us that your servant should do such a thing. So we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever your servant is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. Boy, be careful what you're saying, guys. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. And then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. And so they searched, and he began with the oldest and left with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. Now, at this point, they're probably lower than they've ever been in their life. It looks horrible. It looks terrible. Consequently, these guys are a type of the Jews. They're a type. Do you guys need to excuse yourself? If you need to excuse yourself, go ahead, because you're really disrupting the church, and I don't want that, okay? All right, thank you. The Jews, at the end of the age, are going to face some of the hardest times they've ever faced. The Antichrist is going to make a covenant with them, and halfway through it, he's going to break the covenant. And when he breaks the covenant, many will be killed. Hitler killed one in three Jews. The Antichrist will kill 2 in 3. It will look like this is the end. It will look like there is no hope. They will flee to the rock city of Petra, and during that time, God will have to provide for them, because no man will. The book of Genesis, the Bible says God speaks the end from the beginning. And what we're seeing here is a type and shadow of the time that I just spoke, with Joseph being a type of Christ. Now, these guys are being led away as supposed as slaves. And so then each man speedily down and said, oh, let's see here, where was that? Verse 14, and Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this that you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out this iniquity of your servants. Here we are my Lord's slave, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. Now, at this point, his brothers are thinking that this is God getting them back for what they did to the brothers. They're saying, you know, man, we thought we got away with it, but God... And really, that's true. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. You just can't get away with it. Amen. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. So the man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. As for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servants, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left, and his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to Set, your servants, bring them down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if should he leave his father would die. But you said to your servant, unless your younger brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. And so it was, we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our younger brother is with us, then we will go down, for we may not see this man's face unless our younger brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I came to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servant will bring down the gray hair of your servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now therefore, please, let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come to my father? Now, we're gonna wind it up here in just a few verses. I know this was a lot of reading tonight, but there was no good place to break this story up. Again, I want to set the stage. This is a type of Christ. The last time the Jews saw Jesus was when he was crucified. I like the way Chuck Misler puts it. After the resurrection, Jesus was only seen by loving eyes and touched by loving hands. So the Jews that had him crucified never saw him. And just as the father, here Jacob, Israel, hasn't seen his son since he supposed that he had died, now we come to the place where the father gets to see, or Israel gets to see, Joseph, a type of Christ. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers couldn't answer him, and they were in dismay at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold to Egypt. But now do not, therefore, be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when we did the prophecy update last September, I said, I am 100% convinced that the final 7 years is beginning. There was too many facts. the Jubilee year, the Shemitah year, the four blood moons. All the events point to September 23rd, including the timing from when Israel took the land, took Jerusalem. I did say I don't know if the rapture is going to take place now, but there's another event in September 2017, the event that appears to be the fulfillment of Revelation 12, where we see this constellation Virgo with nine stars of Leo and three planets making the 12 stars at her head, clothed with the sun, and 42 weeks before that date, Virgo goes in a retrograde orbit and stays in the womb for the length of a gestation and is birthed out in September 2017. We see Revelation 12 fulfilled September 2017. What I'd forgotten when I said that was that Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, the Jews, 2 years into the seven-year famine. And so I suspect that that could very well be the timing when the Jews come to Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. Amen. What a day that's going to be. You know, it seems inconceivable right now. Come on up, Nola. It seems inconceivable right now, but the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Romans said that if the casting away is our reconciliation, then what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Amen. And what that means is when the Jews get saved, the church goes up. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall raise. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful tonight that you have a plan. You have a perfect plan. And even though our circumstances may not always look like you have a perfect plan, we know, Lord, that if we just don't get bitter, if we just keep trusting you, that you promised that you'd see us through. The Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those that love him. You know, I don't always do everything perfect. In fact, I fail God more times than I'd like to admit. But that doesn't say for those who do things perfect. It says those that love him. And I can love Jesus tonight, can't you? It's not hard to love Jesus because he first loved me. And so as we close tonight, I just encourage you, maybe you have been tempted to get bitter. Maybe like Joseph, you've had some rough days. You've got some things maybe even now you're facing. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Turn your eyes upon him. He said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So tonight, Lord, we just thank you for your word, the promises of your word, that you will see us through. Forgive us for the times we've doubted, Lord, and help us, Lord, by the grace of God, to trust you with today and tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We are going to have some cake and ice cream in the back, so hang out and fellowship with us.